I'm going to read the last chapter of Daniel. That's on page 899 of these Bibles on the chairs. I do open it up because it's very difficult for me to focus on it without you continuing to see it, not only as I read it, but as I speak from it. So page 899, Daniel chapter 12, the last chapter of this extraordinary book. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So with that open in front of us, with those extraordinary, or as we heard in the text itself, astonishing words, in front of us, we can seek to learn together. And my job, well, as Dan, as you heard, was for me to teach you the word. But I see my role as to teach you to think with the word open before you, so that you can go on from this day, from this place, from this season, refreshed and strengthened by the word of God, not just by a Sunday morning preacher. Well, as you know, as we come to the end of this remarkable book, chapters 1 to 6 are, in one sense, the well-known bit, the famous stories of Daniel and his friends and the fiery furnace and the lion's den and so on. There's a bit of storyline and narrative. We can understand them. The last half, 7 to 12, is indeed mysterious, isn't it? astonishing is not really the word for it, mysterious. And by the time we get to chapter 11, we are clearly talking about the end of the times, the end times, the very end of history, the end of the world. And it is so mysterious that even Daniel, we read in these words, look at verse 8 and 9, even Daniel would say, I heard, but I did not understand. So he had questions. He'd been given this revelation. He, if you like, saw it and heard it, but he didn't understand it. And when he asked that question, how long will it be? That's verse 6 and verse 8. What will the outcome be? He's not really given an answer. At best, the first answer is enigmatic, mysterious, and the second one is not answered at all. So perhaps we need to be honest and humble about what we do not know or cannot know about such writings, and careful about how we handle it. Even if we cannot, like Daniel himself, fully understand it. On the little handout I've given you, the little picture of the man kneeling at an open window, you may recognize from earlier in the book of Daniel, in chapter 6, when he hears some further bad news for him and his friends. And what does he do? As he's always done, chapter 6, verse 10, he goes and prays to his God. You see, he didn't understand then. He didn't know how he was going to cope, let alone understand. But he did what he always did. He turned to God in prayer. And what you read possibly last week, one of my favorite verses from Daniel, chapter 11 and verse 32. But the people who know their God will firmly resist. In the original translation that I grew up in my Christian life, those who know their God will stand firm and take action. Isn't that a great principle? If you want to be firm, stand firm in your Christian faith and take the necessary action for being and living as a Christian, well, we need to know our God. That was one of the great truths that Daniel and his friends not only learned, but they taught and demonstrated for all the ages that follow. They were people who knew their God. And therefore, in the face of terrible adversity and hostility and opposition and confusion, stood firm and took the necessary action. Well, here we have Daniel teaching us, because of what has been revealed to him, what the end of time will be, will look like. Now, a good principle, as we always know when studying the Old Testament, is that the Old Testament is not God's final word. For that, we need Jesus, who, as we will hear again at Christmas, in the Christmas epistle, Hebrews 1, in the past, God spoke to us in many and varied ways by his prophets. But now, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. Jesus himself is God's final and full word. So we need him to understand all the purposes and revelation of God. We will hear that in the Christmas epistle. It'll be read, I'm sure, sometime over the Christmas period. And if you want a gospel chapter, Mark 13, Jesus is speaking himself about the end. Clearly has Daniel in mind, but is giving us more information, more detail. And of course, we need Jesus and his apostles, Peter and Paul. Peter, in his two letters, in the first chapter of each of his letters, says the prophets were looking ahead, straining to see and understand, but they knew less than we do. We now have the revelation in Christ and what he taught his apostles. You will have heard in this chapter 12 of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 2, multitudes will sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. This is one of the almost only hints, the first big hint in the Old Testament of resurrection from the dead. There's only two or three other places in the whole Old Testament where resurrection is mentioned, hinted at. And of course, the New Testament resurrection happened. Jesus, the first fruits from the dead. And then his apostles taught much about the implications. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Funny enough, chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians is being expounded back in St. Peter's this morning, and they'll get to chapter 2 next week. So I'll have to hear that on tape, on CD at the recording, because I'll be in Oldham. And of course, we need the book of Revelation, which is the only other part of the Bible that looks a bit like Daniel, the second half. But this is New Testament, looking to the end. Revelation 13 is a particular chapter, maybe with this in mind. So we need Jesus and the whole Bible. Now, at this point, especially with a chapter like this or the end of Daniel in mind, I think I need to say a word about Christians and their Bibles. We all need God's word to help us understand and live the Christian life. What does that look like in practice? Yes, the church has ministers to teach us the faith, to encourage us and teach us in the word. But what about our own personal lives and our own homes and families? I'm going to be bold and recommend that every household, every family ought to possess something like this. It's called the Lion Handbook to the Bible. It was written with children and families in mind. Lots of pictures and very short articles and very simple commentary on every book of the Bible. Very simple, designed for families. It will probably cost you about 15 to 20 quid now, but what an investment for life. You could help your children with their reading the Bible, let alone your own, if you're an adult, a parent, or a grandparent. I would love to see, if I visited your home in a year's time, that this is one of the books you would have on your shelves as an investment in your Christian life and those of your household or family. It's written for families and has been in print for 50 years, so there'll be a new edition compared to this one. If you're a little bit older in the Christian life, older in human years, and older in the Christian life, I would hope that something like this book, another big book, but it's a commentary on every book of the Bible, all wrapped into one. So wherever you're reading in the Bible, you could dip in here to the chapter or the book you're looking at and see a little bit more of a commentary, but still in one book. This would probably cost you 20 to 30 quid. But in the terms of a lifetime as a Christian, what an investment to help you understand God's word. Yes, if I came in 2 years' time, I would hope to find something like this if you've been a Christian for a while. How long do you need to be a Christian as an adult before you significantly start to study your Bible, if that's the way you grow in the faith? How long should I expect somebody to be a Christian in their adult life before they just don't read it or listen to it being read and taught? They actually study it a little bit for themselves. This will be invaluable. One volume for every single book of the Bible, 66 of them. If you're already a leader in the church, you hold some office or responsibility, you teach the children, you lead a small group, you're a warden or another sort of leader, I would expect you to begin to want to go further. This lovely series of Bible commentaries, a single book of commentary for every book of the Bible, Bible Speaks Today, is written for people who are leaders and teachers themselves of the faith. It might well be parents to their children, but certainly somebody teaching in Sunday school, people leading a small group. Every time the church was working through a book, a small group leader would buy the significant book You'd probably buy 3 or 4 of these books in a year. In 10 years, you get a real library of significant commentaries on each book of the Bible. There's a verse in Hebrews where the chap has just explained something breathtaking from the Old Testament, and he suddenly stops in the middle of his letter and he says, "So you don't understand that, do you? How long have you got to be a Christian? I thought you'd been a Christian long enough to be a teacher and to understand what I've just taught you. I've got to teach you like children all over again." It's a bit of a raspberry. He's rebuking people who've been Christians for some time. And he says, you don't understand this. You've never heard of the person I'm talking about. Every time I read it, I quake at those sorts of words. And I thought to myself, somebody who's been a Christian 20 years in any church I've served in, a Christian 20 years and a member of the church, I expect them to be a teacher somehow, a teacher of others, even if it's in some sort of one-to-one way, a friend of theirs who's been a much younger Christian. Well, there you are. I burnt all my boats and said the sorts of things that I would encourage you to have as aids to help you understand your Bible. What investment could be more important? An investment in your Christian life for your life and any who live in your house with you. Well, that's big aside, but let's get into Daniel 12, because it is complicated. And there are some things, a bit like gristle, I can't digest and I can't really help you with. But let's see what we can do. Yes, this is prophecy. This is a revelation of the end times. We're not going to know or understand it all. But this book as a whole will say we don't need to understand everything to strive for wisdom, holiness, a sense of the purpose of God for our lives and the world. For now, we don't have to understand everything. We don't have to understand everything to be equipped for the future, to have trust and confidence and hope in God for the future, come what may. But we work at the details, so let's look at them. In the opening 4 verses, he talks about at that time, when all these signs of the end are growing, and you've heard some of them in the most recent sermons, I imagine. Maybe they were going to happen in a very soon time after these were written. But by the time we get to chapter 12, he's clearly talking about the end of times. And he says in verse 1, there will be a time of distress, such as not happened before the beginning of the nations until then. A time of great tribulation, trial, and distress for everyone. But God's people, his chosen people, will be protected and delivered. Why? Because verse 2, there's a hint of resurrection. Even those who've already died will be raised to everlasting life. It's the first explicit mention of everlasting life in the Bible. Here it comes in Daniel chapter 12. Verses 5 to 10, Daniel, as we've seen, is given the revelation, but he doesn't fully understand it. He faithfully passes it on, and here we have it in his book. He asks questions, as we've seen. He can't say more than that there will be a great tribulation such as the world has never seen before the end. In it, he says, and this we look in these verses at verse 9, he says, is that where it says it? Am I scribbling this down? The wise will be purified, and the wicked will go from bad to worse. It's verse 10. Many will be purified and made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. So even during this terrible distress, that process will be going on. Confusion for those who are going the way of wickedness, but the wisdom the wise will understand. And verse 3 says that they will shine. It's one of the famous verses that's often quoted. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And they will, those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. And as we come to land at the end of the chapter, and we're just giving a bit of a first look at it, whatever these words in verses 11 to 13 mean, time and times and half a time, the message is we're going to have to wait. And blessed is the one who waits wisely. Yes, by this stage in Daniel, he's learned, and we are to learn through his words, that God is sovereign over the nations, over the world. He keeps his promises. He knows the future. He has a glorious future for his people, whatever happens in the world. Daniel, we know, knows his God, and therefore is able to stand firm in the trial. He trusts and lives his faith out, even when he doesn't understand everything, like turning to that open window to pray every day. And us, well, we're left with this call to know our God ourselves through his word that he's given and preserved for us to read, so that we should be like those talked of in verse 3. Shining as wise ones, like the brightness. Because this is how, through God's word, what he's revealed of himself in his word, this is how we will get perspective on what's going on in the world. We will hear again of God's promises and purposes. We will be encouraged to patience and perseverance, knowing that God will not let any one of his chosen people go, whatever happens in the world. My father-in-law at 91 has got mixed dementia. His memory is shot to pieces. It's a great tragedy because he was a great preacher, knew his Bible, he knew his people and names of people, and he knew his cricket statistics fantastically well. It's all gone. Double dementia. But some of his Bible truths have not disappeared. And every now and again, he will say, especially on his birthday, don't make a fuss. The best is yet to be. What an amazing thing for a Christian to say. Even on the best of days, like a birthday, or on the really bad days, or when you just don't understand what's going on in your own life or in the world. We're a bit like that at the moment, aren't we? The best is yet to be. Only conceivably a Christian could say that with conviction. Well, I've been through chapter 12 generally, and you'll see on the handout that I put two examples of the books I recommended. The one on the left-hand column is the introduction from the Lion Handbook for Families to the whole book. And then at the bottom of that first column on the left is just the simple words it gives for chapter 12. Notice there it says not even Daniel understands, so a cautious approach to these matters may still be the wisest course. So don't think you're going to grasp everything. You don't necessarily need to. At least you don't need. You will know when the end comes. You'll recognize the signs because we've been told about them. We'll recognize them then. On the right, you'll see something from the New Bible Dictionary with a commentary on every book of the Bible. And you'll see it summarized the message of Daniel, what we learn about Daniel, the man of God, and how through Daniel we learn what it means for us to be a man or woman of God. And a few more verses are put in. And I can't resist putting that lovely picture of him kneeling at the window. It comes in the Good News Bible, another simple translation for families. Well, just finally, putting Old and New Testament together, let's look at this chapter again and see where to go for a bit more understanding and information. What are we told before the end of all times, the end of history? Well, there will be this figure, the Antichrist, this anti-God, pro-self, living simply for himself, king person, of whom there have been many types through history. It isn't necessarily just one. Jesus himself said there will be many false prophets, many false Christs will arise. He says that in Mark 13. Revelation 13, a chapter I encourage us to write down and read at some stage, talks about the two great beasts from the sea arising to attack the people of God, and the great dragon, the old serpent himself, thrown down eventually. See, the book of Revelation is very like Daniel. Well, that is the Antichrist, that person or personification of evil and of opposition to God will rise to frenetic levels, such as the world has never seen, causing this distress that the world has never seen, worse than they suffered under Pharaoh in Egypt. And that was bad for centuries. Worse than anything they might have suffered in their own day. But they know that though God's people, arrest with the rest of mankind, will be affected by this trial and tribulation, as evil rises up, while God's kingdom also rises. Jesus told the parable of the wheat and weeds, remember? He said they grow at the same time in God's field. The good seed, the wheat, and the weeds, the tares in the old translation, that grows at the same time. So don't be surprised that while the good, God's good kingdom is growing, the kingdom of evil is rising up in fear and violence all the time, at the same time, till the end. Because there will be, as this chapter teaches, a separation, as we've seen, from God's people. The people of faith, the people who are seeking wisdom, God's wisdom, they'll be separated out from those who are not genuine, who are not seeking wisdom, who are just going the way of the wicked. But what about, and none of God's people, the people of faith, God's chosen people, the wise ones, none of them will be lost. They're written in God's book. We read that here. But the people thought, Daniel thought, what about the people who've already died in the violence of evil, the hostility, the trials, the martyrs? It's interesting, the college you went to in Uganda is the College of the Ugandan Martyrs. The Christian church has always had people who've been martyred, killed for the faith. And Daniel is thinking, well, what about, are they going to be abandoned? They've now been killed and died. And you see, this is where the seeds of resurrection came. Just like Abraham, who's called to kill his son Isaac, but it said he was prepared to go ahead with it because if he had to kill Isaac, he believed that God wouldn't abandon Isaac even in death. He would raise him up after he'd been killed. Actually, if you remember, there was a deliverance, so he didn't have to kill Isaac. But the New Testament says Abraham believed that God was the God of resurrection. And Daniel's the same here. He says these people who've died, if they know God and God knows them, surely they can't be lost to God forever. God is immortal. God is the God of all power, God of all justice, God of all love. Surely God will raise them up from death to be with him forever. You can see where the seeds of the doctrine of the resurrection came, even before it happened to God's man, Jesus. And then the final scene is this tension that we live in still today, that Daniel felt acutely, the gap between seeing and understanding. Daniel has been given all that he needs to see to the very end of time. And he's passed it on, but he doesn't understand it. That's why we're told here that he says, well, put your pen down, seal up what you've written, seal the book, and that will be kept until the end times. Then it'll be understood fully. The signs of the end will be understood, recognized by the people of that generation. And we have to learn to trust, to grasp by faith what we've been shown and told here, that none of God's people will be lost. Whatever the trials on the earth, and for the people of God, the church, that there will be resurrection for those who die in the faith. How do we explain it? It's difficult, isn't it? We have our ways. If sometimes a parent will explain to a child, you know, the dragonfly, that beautiful creature that flies in the air, do you know how it starts its life? It starts as a larva, a little grub that lives at the bottom of ponds in the mud underwater. It lives in water. Water? And then when it matures, it suddenly grows and bursts out of the chrysalis into become a dragonfly, which lives in air. How can the two be the same? Live in water and then live in the air? Well, can't really explain it, but it happens. It's a way we try and say, resurrection body, our earthly body, it dies. How can there be a new resurrection body that is the same but utterly transformed? We don't understand it, but we believe it. Why? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. It actually happened for him, and he blazed the trail. And Jesus said, anyone who's in me, in union with me, I will raise up on the last day. You will share a resurrection body. Oh, just blows our brain. We can't possibly grasp that and explain it. But we're told it and we trust it, like Daniel had to do, and wait. Even if details of our expectation change, there's that mysterious change of numbers from 1,200 and something to 1,300 and something. I have no idea what that means. It certainly leads me to understand that I shan't understand everything, and even things I think I might understand, it might turn out slightly differently. But the Lord is still sovereign. He is still working his purpose out. There will be an end. None of the God's chosen people will be lost. They'll all be there at the end because of God's promise and his power. So it is, yes, it is a long time. It's time and times and half a time. That certainly suggests a very long time, but it's finite. There will be an end. And we must wait. We must wait till the end. That's what Daniel's told here. Go your way. Twice he's told. In the end, all that's been shown you, even if you don't understand it now, it's there for the future. It will be understood as the signs of the end of all times. But you go on your way. Continue as you are. Your weakness and struggles, bring to God in prayer. The things you don't understand, turn afresh deeper to his word or to the counsel of other Christian friends. What you've been doing, even when you're suffering personally or there are terrible things going on around, continue to trust God. Go on doing what you're always doing. Keep going. That's what Daniel was told. Go on your way. But yes, seek wisdom. Interestingly, not seek courage. Seek wisdom. In the thick of it. I'll give you a little example and then we'll finish, because it's high time I did. If Daniel 12 is hard to preach on, in one sense, what about Nahum? Have you ever heard that book of the Bible? Nahum, is it almost the shortest book of the Bible? It's in the Old Testament. I was told to preach on it. Yeah, I was a visiting preacher. I said, I don't mind preaching whatever would help. He said, well, Nahum, the end of Nahum would help. Oh, it's God blasting, condemning the nation of Assyria, this massive superpower of the time, for being wicked and cruel to little Jerusalem and Judah. And the neighboring nation of Edom, who joined not with the little beleaguered Judah as they should have done, their brothers, they sided with the superpower. A bit like Belarus has joined Russia, the superpower, against Ukraine. It had just happened, that invasion, a month before I preached on Nahum. And what's the message of Nahum? You proud, arrogant superpower nations and all your wretched little satellites, you too will be condemned. God will not be mocked. You will be toppled into the dust of the earth. And I thought that's as much a message for what's going on in Ukraine. God is sovereign over the nations, over the superpowers and their wicked cruelty and violence. But it hasn't happened yet. The superpower Assyria of that day, Nahum, hadn't been toppled yet, but they were reminded about God. God will have the last word, and all the arrogant, proud, wicked will be defeated, including arrogant dictators and their superpower nations. And we're to hang on to that. That is the God we know, the God who's revealed himself, who God who's revealed how the end will be. He will bring it to an end, and he will protect and rescue his people, come what may, in their personal lives, in the life of the church, their nation, the world. Well, I thought that was quite a good message from Nahum, but I didn't really understand it. I don't know how and when it'll be fulfilled. But God's people need to hear it, as perhaps we do. We need to hear Daniel. And what magnificent but intimately personal words as the book end. As this individual, Daniel, us as individuals, as for you, go your way to the end. You will rest. You will find peace in this life, in the midst of the storm, but also at the glorious end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you'll rise to receive your allotted inheritance. For Daniel, for each individual believer, part of God's chosen people in every age, that is the promise. Amen.